Hello everyone, and welcome to This Nintendo Life, episode 244. My name is NBZ, and fingers crossed, by the time you're listening to this, I will be in America. There's potential that I won't be, but, you know, things are up in the air, and I'm a bit stressed and panicked right now, but, you know, I'm here to listen to some good music and some good vibes, so hopefully that'll bring me down to earth. Bally, how are you doing?
I'm doing very well. I'm very excited for your trip. It's going to be good.
Yeah, absolutely. We obviously are recording this early in order to accommodate for all that travel and happening. And so we decided it'd be fun to do something a little different for this episode. So, Bally, do you want to tell the folks what today's episode is going to be?
Yeah, we actually put out a survey recently, and you know what? There was a lot of love for. There was a lot of love for the jukebox. So we're actually going to do a double episode of Jukebox, as it were. So I'm gonna test MBZ on 5 songs, and then MBZ is gonna test me on 5 songs. And for those who don't know, these are songs from video games that either of us have played, and the other person has to guess which video game the song is from.
Yeah, a little bit of a kind of music trivia thing, obviously we've done this quite a few times in the past. Some kind of rules are you can't do a game that's already been done before until we kind of run out of stuff. I'm sure then we'll go back around.
We've got a master document to make sure we don't jump on our own toes.
Absolutely. And it has to be from a Nintendo platform of some kind. It has to have been released on a Nintendo platform.
Yes.
And usually the person has to have played it as well. I can't give Bally a song from Xenoblade 3, for example. That would be unfair because he has not played that game or listened to that music. Those are kind of the rule, the setup here. Before we get into it, I'm going to shout out our email address because, we'll be back doing emails next time, I'm sure. But we obviously have not for the last couple of times. But we still need more emails. Bally, where can they send those emails to?
Please send your emails to thisnintendolife@gmail.com. That is thisnintendolife@gmail.com.
Absolutely. Get going, send those in. We will get around to them very soon. But let's kick things off, Bally, with the jukebox. And you have lined up 5 songs for me to take a bash at and see how I do on them. We're not going to go back and forth. We floated the idea of doing me a song, then you a song. But I think it's probably easier if we just go all the way through one and go all the way through the other.
Right.
So I'm going to be up first for testing. I guess, Bally, is there any like setup here, any like ideology behind these songs or anything?
Well, I mean, if I start giving away ideology and themes and this kind of thing, then I think it's just going to give it away.
There's too many hints,
Let's just say, who knows what's going to happen, and let's just jump into song one.
All right, let's take a listen. Cool. So when we play these songs, obviously you in the show you just hear them very seamlessly. Obviously, Bally and I bring up the song, then like pause it quickly to go back to the beginning, and then 3, 2, 1, it right. As soon as I brought it up within that half second of hearing the start of the song, I was like, I know what this game is pretty much immediately because I played a lot of it. Here's the thing: I'm pretty confident right now, but if I get it wrong, I'm going to look like a complete dumbass. But I am pretty certain that this is from Pokemon Legends Arceus.
Is that your final answer?
That's my final answer. Lock it in.
That is correct.
Yeah, absolutely.
So this is the Jubilife Village outdoor theme.
Yeah, yeah.
So I imagine this is kind of like a hubby area that you're
it
in.
It is a hubby area, yeah. There's kind of a Monster Hunter-esque feel to Pokemon Legends Arceus in that you have a center kind of hub town village place, and then you kind of spoke off onto different environments. Like, they are open world-esque, but they are separate in the... And it's one of the frustrating things about the game, actually, is that you can't teleport from one of those open world areas to the other. You have to go back to Jubilife Village, then go out to another one. Go back to Jubilife Village. Like, every time you want to go to a different location, you always have to load back to the main town, and then load out again. And yeah, I mean, you hear this music a lot because it's a place you're spending a lot of time in, and I really like it. It's probably one of my favorite towns in a Pokemon game generally. The thing that's nice about it is that it evolves over time. You have like these kind of patches of land that keep growing, and you're kind of like planting seeds and stuff, and you're kind of, you know, almost building out the society there a little bit. There's a lot of the side quests you get come from this place, and so people will ask you to go out and do stuff, because basically the premise of this game is, in the past, everyone was afraid of Pokemon. No one knew what they were, and everyone was like, oh, those things are like beasts and dangerous monsters. And that's reflected in the gameplay as well, because you get attacked by Pokemon out on the field constantly. And, you know, a lot of the time they're like, oh, I've never seen one of these before. Could you show it to me? Could you bring it to me and find one, and then I can have it in my house? And I remember one of the first quests I did, I had caught a really large, I think it was... Floatzel? I think I caught a big... No, Big Floatzel is one of the harder quests, actually. You have to find a Floatzel that's, like, slightly taller than another one, but isn't a big one. But you can find big Pokemon, basically. They're just Pokemon that are just larger because of whatever genetics, they've grown larger. I can't remember. Maybe it was a Kingler or something? No, I don't think Kingler's in the game. There was a Pokemon that I found that was, like, really big. And so the funny part of it was I had to give this Pokemon to someone in the town as a quest thing. And usually you just give them a regular Pokemon and it would show up there. But because I had a big one, when I gave it to them, it showed up in their house as a giant one. So it was just like... And every time you'd go in there, it'd be like, yep, that's that giant Pokemon I gave to that person. which I thought was pretty funny that they actually reflected it in terms of actual size in the world, which was really cool. And yeah, so you come back here often to you collect your kind of progression stuff from the kind of main. It's like a kind of like an academy type of deal, where you go in there and there's you know, people doing research and things like that, and you know, you're asked to go out and do tasks for them. I would say this game has like the best side quests in any Pokemon game. Not that many Pokemon games have side quests, but certainly it lends to that feel of a bit more of a traditional RPG, and as I said, kind of like Monster Hunter-esque. So yeah, and the music's really good as well. Like, you listen to that song and you wouldn't necessarily associate it with Pokemon, right? It's got like a different kind of vibe to it.
I think the modern Pokemon games, as few as I've played of them, do tend to have pretty strong soundtracks.
They
and
do.
Obviously the old games, I think we think, have got very strong soundtracks, so like it's always been good stuff.
Yeah. Bally, what do you think the chances are of you checking this game out at some point are? Because I think you'd really enjoy it.
Yeah, I mean, it's just its length, really. And I am struggling to play longer games right now, generally.
Yeah.
But yeah, I would like to get to this game at some point.
It's one of those that you can probably knock out in 25 hours. Like, it's not like a 50-hour juggernaut. You can make it that if you want to go and catch literally everything. But yeah, if you're just kind of mainlining it, you can get through it pretty rapidly. I remember, like, because you have to hit certain thresholds for, like, catching Pokemon and what level your kind of Pokedex thing is at. And near the end game, I was just like, oh, I've spent a lot of time catching in these areas. The last two areas, I'm like, I'm just going to kind of mainline it. And it didn't take me that long, so it's definitely it also has like big boss fights that are like actiony, which is really weird that you're like dodging out the way like a Souls like or something. It's super bizarre, but the game works.
Do you think they'll try this type of game again?
I think they will, and honestly, like, it might be best to just wait until they do another one, right?
Okay.
Like, wait until they do Pokemon Legends Rayquaza or whatever, right, and set in Hoenn's past or whatever region they want to do next. But I think it's a really strong formula going forward for a new type of Pokemon game, so I do hope they continue with it, and you know, it was successful enough, so I think they will. So
nice,
there you go.
Are you ready for song two?
Absolutely. Let's see if I can keep the streak going. Let's listen. Yeah. Well, Bally, I appreciate you being kind to me today, because I think this... So I went through a little bit of a early kind of like figuring out with this one of like, okay, this is definitely a Super Nintendo RPG, but which one is it, right? And, you know, there are a lot of great ones out there, a lot of ones that I've played. As soon as is that a flute? I guess it's a flute. As soon as that kicks in...
Yeah, it's a synthesized equivalent of a flute, I'm
right,
guessing.
Right, yeah, exactly. Yeah. As soon as that synth flute kicked in, I was like, oh, of course, it is one of the great soundtracks of all time. This is Chrono Trigger.
That is correct. I wasn't able to replicate the jukebox glory of... you picking between Final Fantasy VI and Chrono Trigger this time.
No,
which
no.
Which we managed to do with Cyan's theme.
Right, yeah.
I think it was a couple of times ago. And
yeah.
Yeah. So, obviously, with Final Fantasy VI having been used up, you knew that... I think you would have got this anyway, maybe, because it is a famous theme. But
I think I would have, because I didn't actually start looking at the list until later into the song, once I knew that it probably was Chrono Trigger. But yeah, I mean, this is an iconic soundtrack on like every level. I think there's so many memorable themes and so much like incredible music. Like, I think the thing that is so remarkable about this game is how it was one of those, you know, projects sometimes they're like, we got this guy and this guy and this guy, right? And like, I think that was the case for, was it, Recall, right? Like, they're like, we have Keiji Inafune, and we have the people who used to work on Metroid Prime, and they're coming together to create this thing. And then Recall was like, yeah, it's kind of, it's not great, you know? Like, it was like a very average game. And I think it is, sometimes you get that where you're like, okay, these people are going to come together and make something amazing. And this just... is the moment that it really happened, right? Like, they just took all this talent from these two RPG juggernauts and put them together and just had, like, an astonishing kind of piece of work come together. I think that the music for Chrono Trigger is timeless, right? Which is, you know, fitting for the game and it's kind of time-hopping nature. I'm sure there are a lot of choices you could have picked here, Bally, for music.
Yeah, totally. You know how you said, like, Phil Spencer ruined my view on this game?
Of course,
like,
yeah.
This game is aging well in my mind. Like,
I am
very fond of it, and I would love to play a remake of this game.
The
fact that we're unable to play it, other than, like, I don't know, iOS garbage, like, I think speaks to the fact that there must be a remake, at least, like, having been thought about. And you know, then they don't want to put out a remaster or anything. Like, I think this game is going to get a full-on remake. It's just a matter of when, right?
Yeah, I hope so. I mean, like, the thing with HD2D is it's being used for new games with the Octopath stuff and Triangle Strategy, and also with old games of Dragon Quest and Live Alive, and like, I don't know, Chrono Trigger feels like it quote-unquote deserves more than an HD2D, but I think the HD2D is quite fitting if you want to kind of keep the vibe and the aesthetic of that game. You know, I don't know that a full-blown 3D Final Fantasy VII remake type thing for Chrono Trigger would really work, just because it's a game that feels much quirkier and like light-hearted than some of those later Square games that are getting that kind of like more serious treatment. Like, I don't know, there's also like a scope thing going on with like the amount of locations and like time periods and stuff. It feels like it would, you know, they're already splitting Final Fantasy VII into three parts because of you know, them trying to increase the scope of it. Like, Chrono Trigger would probably have to do the same if they were going to do that. So yeah, I think some kind of re-release that really puts it in a new light to a new audience would be fantastic. But it is one of those games that has aged so gracefully that, like, even playing it today, I think it's so easy to get into and smooth and streamlined and like does so many modern things despite being a game from 20 years ago. It's pretty amazing that it continues to do all that stuff. So I mean, Chrono Trigger is the best. It's amazing. And I do want to replay it at some point. It's been a while since I played it now, like 2015, I want to say, is when I last checked it out. So the DS version is probably the best version to play.
I often struggle a little bit with kind of mechanics in JRPGs, and this game was very easy to just pick up and play a little bit of and put down again and kind of keep coming back to it quite intermittently. And I don't always find that with JRPGs, that often the systems can bog down a game for me. But this is it's not overly simplistic. There's still complexity in there. It's just, it's a very nice game to play.
Yeah, exactly. It's smooth as an experience. And I think, you know, modern games could still learn from it in a lot of ways. So, yeah, very glad that we finally used Chrono Trigger. It took a while, but there we go. There we go. It has been used. All right. Should we move on to song number three?
Yes.
I think this is one of my favorite jukeboxes so far, because I feel like I'm confident here, right? Like, every song I'm like, yeah, I think I know what that is. And this one has a very strong vibe to it. Of course, the series has a strong musical identity. I mean, less said about the composer, the better, because he's, I think he's dead now, which, you know, good riddance, but he's a Holocaust denier. Pretty nasty piece of work. But, you know, there's iconic music in the series. I think to give it its full title, on Nintendo Switch, Dragon Quest XI S: Echoes of an Elusive Age Definitive Edition for the Nintendo Switch, I believe. And that,
yeah,
is...
I just put Dragon Quest XI, but yeah, that is, yeah, correct. Yes.
Yeah, yeah. Awesome. This game is fantastic. It's I played it on PC because it was the first game ever announced for the NX, right, at the time. Even before Nintendo announced any games for it, Square Enix were like, oh yeah, we're doing something for that Nintendo system that we don't even know the name of yet. And it took a little while for it to come out, right? I think it was like at least a year and a half after the original version came that they were like, all right, finally, we got this to work on Switch. And the Switch version has some cool stuff in it that is not present in the original release, which is... So this game actually originally came out on 3DS and PlayStation 4 at the same time, just like two weird consoles to release on at the same time, and they are two very different versions. The 3DS version is kind of the same scope and story, but like shrunken down, and the towns look different and everything. And the 3DS also has a mode that is a top-down mode where you basically play it as if it's a classic, like, Super Nintendo-style Dragon Quest game. And everything is, like, built so you can play the top screen and the bottom screen at the same time. And so you kind of, like... I think there's a point in the story where you can't do that anymore. But, like, at least for the beginning, you can play the bottom screen and the top screen simultaneously on the 3DS. And you move around in the same way on both. And it's just...
That is crazy.
It's very cool. So that 2D stuff is present in the Switch version. So, you know, the 3DS version was never actually localized. It was never released outside of Japan. So the Switch version having all that stuff in there is really nice. I believe the Switch version also has some extra stuff, like content that links to previous Dragon Quest games. So you can go and you can go to this like circular room that has a bunch of stuff that is like places from previous games you can go to, and some kind of extra stuff around there, which is nice. But yeah, I think this is one of the best games in the series. It's not my favorite. I think 7 is still my favorite overall. I just love the class system in 7. I think it's such a fun like remake of that game. Like the 3DS version of 7 is excellent for a game that I think was a bit of a black sheep of the series, but weirdly has turned out to be my favorite one. 11 is like the most traditional, it's probably the easiest entry point into Dragon Quest, despite the fact that, yeah, as you know, as we've mentioned before, these games are long. This is the longest one, I would say. I think it took me 55 hours to go through the main story, and that doesn't include the kind of the final act where there is a kind of extra end game stuff that you can do that I didn't end up doing, but kind of like closes out the story in a way. And yeah, I do wish that Dragon Quest games were a little bit shorter, so they're a bit more approachable to more people, but they tend to be the very traditional RPG where, you know, you spend a long time kind of like going through and grinding. And, you know, I think like a lot of people always play Dragon Quest in Japan because it wasn't that it was difficult, it was just like you just had to put a lot of time into it in order to get through it. So yeah, and I think that it's one of those series that I'm trying to play every single entry in, and I'm getting my way there. I'm still playing Dragon Quest 4 at the moment. I'll bring that to the show at some point, but yeah, Dragon Quest 11 is excellent.
11 was the most recent one, right?
Is the most recent one, yeah.
And I know that there's like the 3 HD 2D thing, but
yeah,
when do you think 12 might be?
Oh boy, they've announced it.
Oh, have they?
All we know is the name and the logo, and I can't remember what the name is, but it's something dark, and they're signaling like it's going to be like a different direction for Dragon Quest, which is interesting because Dragon Quest has been a staunchly traditional series, right? Where Final Fantasy goes off and does different things every time. Dragon Quest is like, we're pretty much the same every time, very familiar, very comforting.
Final Fantasy 16 is going dark as well, so
it is. Yeah,
maybe they want that. It's like this, like, myth that you need to be dark to appeal to the Western audience.
Exactly, yeah. I feel like that's kind of what Square Enix is taking, which is, it's funny, because, like, if Dragon Quest goes in more an action-y direction, I don't know how to feel about that, because it feels like it's losing the identity of the series, but it's cool that they're trying something different. It'll also be ironic in the sense that the Yakuza series is like, no, we're going to be like Dragon Quest now. It'd be hilarious if Dragon Quest was like, hey, well, let's be a bit more like that Yakuza series and just hit people, you know, in real time instead. So I'm waiting for that to happen because that would be a fun role reversal. But we'll see. Yeah, Dragon Quest XI, I recommend it to a lot of people. If you've never tried the series before, I think it's a really easy one to get into. Has a great story. I think probably the best characters and story in the franchise. So nice. Shout out, Dragon Quest XI.
Another one I want to get to at some
Absolutely.
Point.
Yeah, when time is available, yeah I'm sure.
Time is available.
Awesome. Great, let's move on to number four.
Are you ready for some Latin lyrics?
I don't know, but
well,
let's
here
listen.
We go.
All right. I think I've established the theme you're going for. I think I probably could have established it after three songs, but this is very JRPG final battle type of music, and it's killing me a little bit because I feel like I've heard this very recently, but also I think it could be something else because of the quality of the music. So I'm kind of going back and forth here between a couple of options. Number one is Chained Echoes, which I've just played, which I think has something along these lines. And I can't fully remember, but I think it does. The other is Octopath, because it has a very Octopath kind of vibe to it in terms of some of the sections and some of the kind of build of it and the kind of, you know, the quality level of it as well is quite high quality. So it would be something that I imagine Square would be able to do. And it looks like we haven't done Octopath before. And, you know, I know who you are, Bally, so that would make sense. So the question is it a recent thing with Chained Echoes or is it Octopath Traveler? And I'm not sure which to go for. So it's kind of up in the air for me. But I feel like I've heard it so recently, or at least I've heard something with those vocals very recently, but I can't remember this specifically from Octopath. But maybe I didn't get far enough, right? I never did finish all the stories, and I didn't do, you know, the final boss. I know you didn't either, but I'm not sure if this is, maybe it is, maybe this is the final boss song. Oh, it's hard. I am going to say Octopath Traveler, and I'm going to lock it in. I'm going to kick myself if it's Chained Echoes, because I did literally just play that game, but I'm going to say Octopath Traveler. Bally, put me out of my misery.
That is correct.
Octopath.
And okay. You're right, I did not... This is the music for the first phase of the final boss, where you have to be like level 75 or something silly. And
yeah.
I didn't play it either. I discovered this song probably through Family Jewels and went back and watched the end of the game and kind of like took in this song. And it's called like Daughter of the Dark God. So like there's a female character in the game that like links you up with the final boss. And that's, she's kind of the daughter of the Dark God, as it were. So that's how it all links. And yeah, it's just such an epic song. I absolutely love it. And
it's really good.
One day I want to go back to Octopath 1 and get to this final boss and take it on. But honestly, like, I see people in the comments who I assume have played a few JRPGs saying like this is one of the hardest JRPG bosses they've ever fought. So,
oh my god.
And the fact they put it so many levels post game also suggests like, yeah, maybe it's not for mere mortals like me, but I might still give it a go at some point, who knows. I just think it's a really epic song, and you're right, I think there is like a rhythmic chord progression in and amongst the very flowery singing that does, I think, give it away as Octopath.
Yeah,
like there's a real structure to a lot of their battle themes that I personally love. That Octopath is one of, if not my favorite, like JRPG soundtrack. So yeah, it's good stuff.
Yeah, there's like an iconic kind of I don't even know how to put it. It's not even leitmotif. It's just like a rhythmical kind of almost tempo thing, right? When it comes to like the feel of the music and how it all kind of comes together. And it's generally quite identifiable as an Octopath song. How's that second game soundtrack holding up? Because it's something that I've not heard a lot of people talk about. But
it's very good. I was just playing some last night and I was thinking, God, this is on a par with the first game, honestly.
That's great to hear.
Soundtrack. So I'm very excited by. It also gives me more motivation to get to the final boss of the second game, which I hear is also easier to get to, even though it's still a tough fight in this game. So yeah, I'm looking forward to that. I will say, Family Jewels' rendition of Daughter of the Dark God. First of all, he does it with his partner Adriana on vocals, which is also good fun. But I was going to say, he uses the same chord progression in the song to play the main theme of Octopath 1. So like they are using the same main theme chord progression in there, which I think is very interesting. So that's also another maybe giveaway that the main theme is hiding in there somewhere.
Yeah, I mean, that's brilliant stuff,
yeah,
right?
Love like stuff like that.
You can tell that there's a lot of thought and care being put into the music when you can do stuff like that. And it tends to be the case. I find that JRPG soundtracks do a lot of that stuff. I think just generally games from Japan have a lot more care and attention put into their music, probably from the long, rich history of older games over there. A bit more iconic in that sense. So yeah, I think this is one that you had to choose, because if you had chosen any other song, it would have been a bit too easy for me to like get it directly.
Well, exactly. Not only did I know, and it is kind of cheeky because I knew for a fact you hadn't played to this point in the game.
Sure,
but
yeah.
Obviously, neither had I, so I thought, yeah, I'm going to be cheeky. I thought the other three you would get, so I thought I might as well go a little tougher for this one.
Yeah, but, for sure. Yeah.
Awesome. The question is, though, will the fifth game be a JRPG or not?
Oh, God,
that's the question.
Are you gonna,
am I throwing a curveball or am I not?
Yeah.
Shall we find out?
Let's find out. Let's listen.
In a long forgotten place, Babylonia, the king was forced with this old seal. And the heavens quaked to defeat and destroy the evil that now comes. Furious and righteous with the rain. Hearts aflame with purpose true. Call him to the fight. The king of kings, the titan, will keep him back.
There you go, to complete the set. Yeah, great song. I mean, the lyric, I forgot that song had lyrics as well, but they really just like...
Could you tell they didn't get an English-speaking voice actor for the English
version? Yeah, yeah. Yes, it's pretty good. Of course, this is the remake of the Square Enix classic, Live Alive.
Correct. Yes. Can you guess what part of the game it's from?
I think this is from the robot, near future one, right?
Yes, where he's in the big near robot. Future. This is actually the opening to that area. Like, they just start it, and it's all about a mech that you basically control. And it's maybe my favorite of the seven kind of chapters is the near future. I think
it's really good,
fantastic.
The music in this game is fantastic. There is one song that almost dominates all others, obviously, Megalovania. But I think that all the rest of the music is like fitting of the era, and it's nice because it all has to be specific to the different scenarios that you're in as well. So there is quite a variety to it, right? From like the Wild West themes to the kind of like far in the future alien stuff going on. Like they do vary stuff up, which I think is quite good. And though you still hear the same boss fight every time, like it never gets fucking old. So I'm happy about it. You know, I'm happy to listen to that as much as possible. I think this is a Yoko Shimomura joint, Live Alive, like her first
soundtrack.
I believe
so. I can't remember composer name.
Which is just like a great kind of set of tracks that I think is slightly different from a lot of the stuff around that time as well. Like it's definitely clearly has its own identity, and I think it kind of makes it stand apart. But it's also, did you manage to find this on YouTube okay? Because when I've looked for Live Alive music on YouTube before, it's very difficult.
This and Megalomania are like the only two on YouTube essentially, and because I was gonna get you like another song, and then I was like, oh wait, this is from the original game, I can't do that, that's a bit cheap. This is one of like two songs, and I think it's because someone loves the song and then re-uploaded it, and it probably just because it's a different type of song, it might not have got caught in the algorithm or some other bullshit, but like,
right,
yeah, it just seemed to still be up there and is actually from the game, or at least the English version of the game. So
Square Enix have gotten into the habit of uploading their soundtracks to Spotify. I think a lot of the Final Fantasy soundtracks are up there, so I don't know if that's the case here as well, where they're like, well, we've put them over there and we're going to just wipe them off the face of YouTube.
Yeah, I mean, Octopath was all there, but it was in Japanese, not English. That was also difficult, but I actually knew the song I wanted based on the song length. So I managed to find Daughter of the Dark God. That was the official version, so
that makes sense.
Well, you proved your JRPG chops, MBZ.
I guess so.
You are the JRPG guy, and I thought, you know what, let's put that to the test. And you passed with flying colors.
I think that's the second time we've got 5 out of 5, one of us has, because you got 5 out of 5 in one of them before, but usually we don't do very well because we do things a bit harder.
I want to say also that two songs in here have proven to be banana skins in the past. Well, maybe not technically, but what I mean is, when I tested you on Super Mario Odyssey and I gave you it was like the Winter Town music from Super Mario Odyssey, and you said, this sounds identical to Dragon Quest XI, but it isn't Dragon Quest XI. And I thought Bustling Town was the exact mimic of that song.
Okay.
So you did well there. And then obviously, it's easier to spot Chrono Trigger when Final Fantasy VI isn't an option. So that was the other potential banana skin. I guess Octopath Traveler, I thought, could also be a banana skin, but
that was the hardest one for me because I couldn't decide between Chained Echoes and that.
Right. I had no idea there might be something in Chained Echoes that would put you off. So I thought that your process of elimination would be even simpler potentially on that one. So
That was good. They're good songs. I enjoyed listening to all of them. How about let's take a quick break and let's come back after that to test you and see how you do. Baka mitai kodomo nano ne yume wo ootte kizutsuite uso ga 下手なくせに笑えない笑顔を見せ
せた。I love you もろくに言わない、口下手でほんまに不器用なのに、なのにどうしてさよならは言えたの。ダメだね、ダメよ、ダメ。
All right, everybody, we're back for the second half of today's show. It's time, Bally, to flip the script. You tested me in the first half, and now it's time for me to test you. I wouldn't say I have a theme in the same way that you do. I just kind of like pick stuff that I was like, oh, that's interesting, and maybe he'll get that. I think you'll have a harder time with mine, but I didn't try to make them hard. I tried to make them gettable and familiar, but like, yeah, not impossible. So okay, we'll see how it goes. Hopefully,
I mean, the perfect balance is you want that song to be in my head, but I just can't quite place where I've heard it. Like, that's
right,
the balance you want.
Yeah, totally. So what do you say, let's kick things off, Mally? Let's listen to song number one. Simple song.
Cool.
Do you know what it is?
I just had one game in my mind, like, from the first note.
Okay.
pretty much.
Yeah.
And I think it is the joyous puzzle platformer Box Boy, but I'm demanding that I get the point, even if it's from one of the sequels or the
yes.
other one. So
yeah,
I'm going to
exactly.
say Box Boy.
Yeah, I wasn't going to be super mean about it and choose Box Boy instead and be, ha ha, you got it wrong. No, this is from the original Box Boy, which I'm surprised we haven't used yet. I guess it's one of those soundtracks that's not, it's less of a soundtrack and more just like ambient little bits in the background.
Yeah. It works so well for the game, though. I distinctly remember hearing about this game maybe on a podcast or something, and I think I talked to you about it, and you said, oh yeah, I might get that.
Yeah.
And I remember going for a run, thinking about it, and then getting back from my run while I was living in London, and impulse purchasing it, and just playing, like, I don't know, 4, 5, 6 hours straight away, and telling you about it, and being like, MBZ, this game, it's really good.
It's so good, yeah.
It is really good. I think I got a little bit tired by the end of the second one of the mechanic, and I don't think I ever got the. Did the third game, was it a third game, or did it just put together the first two games?
No, it was a third game. So there's Box Boy, there's Box Boy, and there was Bye Bye Box Boy.
Bye Bye Box Boy.
And
yeah.
then they also did Box Boy plus Box Girl, which
right.
I played on Switch as well. So I have played all four Box Boy games.
All four, jeez.
Yes,
yeah.
yes.
So I never got to the third. I think I burned out at the end of the second.
Yeah, I think it's one of those that, like, you would probably be okay to go back to now, having
oh, yeah.
been a
yeah.
long time since you did play it. So I'd recommend, you know, if you're going to pick up anything in the before the 3DS goes away, maybe that third Box Boy game could be a good one. Alternatively, just play the new one.
Yeah,
on
I'll
Switch,
probably just play the fourth on Switch. But
yeah, which has some co-op stuff in as well, so if you wanted to do that,
uh-huh,
you know,
that's cool.
That's a fun thing. But yeah, I think that all these games, I think the thing is the first one just kind of nailed it, and the rest of them are just like kind of building on that success, right?
Yeah.
And I think there's almost a brilliance to the restraint of the first game in the fact that you do only have one set of boxes, right? The second one introduces the idea that you're like, oh, let's do one set and then I can do another set. And it makes it, I wouldn't say easier, but it allows you to have a bit more flexibility. Whereas I think the restraint of the first one really makes it so that you have to just like work within that space that they give you. I think its simplicity is great. And I think that simplicity is reflected in the music quite well, right? Like little bleeps and bloops. And it is a minimalist game in like every single way, like from visuals to design to soundtrack. And yet, like, that minimalism is its, like, strongest asset, right?
I think Nintendo UK proudly tweeted yesterday, you can get 14 Kirby games on Switch. And I quite tweeted it and said, like, only 14? Because it feels like there's even more.
Yeah.
And it just makes me want HAL to do more cute, smaller stuff like Box Boy rather than churning out yet another Kirby game. Now, Kirby and Forgotten Land was fantastic. I'm up for more 3D Kirby, but there's just been far too many Kirby games, and I want HAL to work on smaller, cuter, innovative stuff like Box Boy.
I thought we would lose Box Boy in the transition from 3DS to Switch, but it's nice to see that they brought, even though they said bye-bye to him and, you know, ended it all, you know, they brought him back. So I guess there's more life there, and, you know, maybe we see more from Intelligent Systems Pushmo as well at some point. So a couple of games from the 3DS eShop that are going the way of the Dodo. But, you know, last reminder here, I guess. I think the day this episode goes up is the day the eShop closes. So listen to this before then pick up Box Boy.
My personal view is I'm happy for my fate to be sealed. I'm not really purchasing anything. And the one thing I will say is I know that MBZ, you own hard copies of a bunch of fantastic 3DS games that I've never played, and at some point I'll probably have some fun borrowing those off you. That's my plan.
Yeah, that makes sense. I've pretty much bought everything I want at this point. I might do a last minute shopping spree. There are some Atlas games down super stupid cheap again, so like all the Etrian games. But like, thing is with Etrian is like, I've bought one of them, but I don't know if I like it yet because I've not played it. And I'm like, do I want to buy more, not knowing if I even like this series? But I don't know. I'll have to make that decision soon. So we'll see how it goes. But good job, Ali. First song down.
Thank you.
Let's go on to song number two. So I like this song because it weaves a familiar theme throughout something that is maybe a little less familiar.
This is
so I'm interested to hear what you
honestly
think.
This is really dastardly. So that theme is a Mario theme. Like,
you are correct.
Yes. I know that is a Mario theme. I can't remember whether it's Mario 3 or... I think it's Mario 3. Anyway, that doesn't really matter. My point is, it's a Mario theme. And then it's got like this, so it's a Mario theme from a retro Mario game, but then it's got a really modern remixing of it. Mm. So then, but the modern remixing is crisp, and there's something about the modern remixing that is incredibly Wii Shop Channel, Nintendo Switch Sports, Wii Fit, kind of like that. You know what I'm like? All those songs on all those games have like a distinct sound. I'd even throw Nintendo Land in there, but I know that we've done Nintendo Land before, so that would have probably been my main guess. So I'm thinking of like, what are modern games that remix Mario?
It is a Mario game. I will just say that.
I don't even know what the definition of a Mario game is in 2023.
Because he just shows up everywhere. He's
just
hanging
about.
He just
shows up everywhere. This is hard, but I do like it. That song remix is in my mind. One of those like funky, there's a couple of more art style-y levels in 3D World. One of like the black and white levels, I'm thinking. So it's like trying to be edgy, and it's got that remake. Yeah, I'm convincing myself maybe into Mario 3D World.
I should mention we have done 3D World before. You tested
fair.
Me
Thank
on
you
it
for
with Switch Scramble
okay,
Circus.
Right, here we go. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I think it's mainline Mario. I think I'm thinking it's like, yeah, I'm going to go Mario Galaxy 2.
Mario Galaxy 2, that your final answer.
That's my final answer.
Bal, you are so close. So close.
Is it Galaxy 1?
It was not. And it was not 3D World. It was, in fact,
my Land.
Favorite Super Mario 3D Land.
That is a great is pick, yes.
Yep.
Was it one of the edgier art style
I don't
levels.
Think so. So this is a level called Clock Tower, which I don't remember from 3D Land. Maybe it's like a bunch of gears, I imagine, something along those lines. But yeah, it was Clock Tower. And the reason I like this song is because it did weave that kind of classic melody in with something that sounded a little bit more modern, which understandably, I thought it would be a little easier to pinpoint. But then thinking about it, it's like Mario kind of does that quite a lot, doesn't
yeah,
it?
Like, that's like what he's become renowned for. But yeah, so I tried a bit of process of elimination, but even with a bit of that, it's hard. I'm also shocked we've never done any music from Galaxy, so that's
yeah,
definitely
either Galaxy game, it seems. So yeah, that's definitely on the table for the future. Yeah. I think Galaxy has a bit more of like an orchestral grandness to it, you know?
Generally speaking, yeah, but there'll definitely be like trickier little songs in there that maybe, I don't know, but yeah. No, 3D Land, that's a great shout, and
yeah,
what a great game, and a great soundtrack, and there is definitely a space in my mind that the next Mario game is of a 3D Land or 3D World ilk. Like, I don't
think... Oh, you think so? Okay.
I definitely think there's a space for, like, it doesn't always have to be the pseudo-open world of Odyssey, as much as I love that. Like, and I'd love an Odyssey too, but I think there's definitely a space for a more linear, shorter, you know, it's basically a 2D Mario in 3D. Like, I think there's a space for that.
Yeah, I mean, they did have Bowser's Fury, right? Which is kind of like a little 3D world in there.
Bit,
there's like a spice of it, especially because it got released with the 3D world re-release, right? So the feel of movement in that game is very much tied to the 3D world mechanic space. So, yeah, I mean, if the direction they go in is more of what they did with Bowser's Fury, then it kind of like bridging the gap almost between what they did in 3D Land and 3D World with the more kind of open Odyssey stuff as well. So yeah, I think that could be cool. I think it's definitely, it's a direction that they can go in, and whether that is an Odyssey follow-up or just a brand new Mario game that comes out with the next system or even very, very late into this one's life cycle, we'll see, I'm sure. But there you have it. Mario 3D Land tripped you up.
I loved my going around the houses on Mario games that have like referenced old games. Oh, goodness. Yeah. Do we know what original game that soundtrack's from?
I'm not sure, actually. That little snippet. Yeah, I'll have to
look
I'd
go Mario Bros. 3, but I've not actually even played that game yet.
Think it is. I think it might be from another one, but okay. Anyway, we'll have to figure it out. All right, ready for song number 3, which
yes.
I think is probably the hardest.
Oh,
so,
God, that
so
last
apologies.
One was hard.
I know. Right. Yeah.
Let's go.
Let's see how you do. All right, song number 3. Nice little brief one there for you. Anything coming to mind?
I have no idea. It could be so many things.
Well, let me lean you in a direction. This game is on the Switch Online service. It is available on the Switch Online service.
Oh, wow. Okay. There's quite a lot of games that are available on
there
the Switch
Online
service.
Yeah. There are.
Okay, well, like... Let's have a little look at some of the Super Nintendo games that I have played in my... I mean, it might be NES games. I've barely played any NES
Your
games.
Your long career of NES games.
My long career, but... So let's go Super Nintendo.
What kind of vibe are you getting from this?
I mean... It's action-y. It's not kind of heavy enough to be Contra, and I think we've already done Contra 3.
I think we have, yeah.
So... ruling out Contra. It's not Donkey Kong. It's not Earthbound. Don't think it's F-Zero. We've done Final Fantasy VI. So, like, I'm leaning more towards, like, do you think I've played Street Fighter 2 Turbo? Is that what you're thinking
I've played? I do not think you have played Street Fighter 2 Turbo.
Okay, fair enough. Because I would definitely, it sounds like it could be that. Equally, it sounds like it could be Super Punch-Out, another game I've not played. It's like a fighting theme to it, you know? Like,
yeah, that kind of has a bit of that Live Alive vibe in a way, doesn't
right,
it?
Right, like, yeah.
A little bit of that, yeah.
I'm honestly running out of games. And then there's, like, Wild Guns. And I like to think Wild Guns has a little bit of a Western theme to its soundtrack. So, and then again, it might not even be Super Nintendo. This game might be really difficult, as you said, because it's a curveball towards
you NES. Are in the right direction. You are, yeah.
Okay.
Keep going along your lines, basically, yeah.
For me, it has to be Wild Guns then. I've not played Super Punch-Out, you know, like.
Sure.
So.
Is that your final answer?
I'm going to go Wild Guns, yeah.
That is correct. It is Wild Guns.
Okay, phew.
Yeah. I had to do a bit of
bloody
coaxing
overthinking
there,
this but, thing.
Yeah, it's a
it's
tricky
like a 3D
one, isn't
chess
it?
After a while.
Yeah, exactly. So Wild Guns, a game that we played co-op together that I think was a really fun time. Shout out to Businessman.
It was such a good time.
It's a that great
was, game. Yeah, I was like, what is this retro garbage MBZ wants me to play? Well, oh, well, it's short. Let's just play it. And then, I had a way better time than I was giving the game credit for in my mind. It was a blast. Honestly, it was up there with, you know, Contra and other co-op experiences we've had before. And Blazing Chrome, the name I always forget, but it's up there with that game.
Yeah.
A little leaner as well, quite a lot leaner.
Yeah, it's pretty short. And like the nice thing about it is we didn't even have to use save states, just the way the game is built.
Yeah.
It's like you can kind of finish it like without needing to rely on that stuff, which I thought was super cool. I think that musically it might have been one of those where I don't, because we have to talk at the same time on Skype as well as playing the game, I don't think
music is definitely taking a backseat.
Yeah, totally. And that was the that's the player select music, basically.
That's why it's a bit more
doesn't quite have, and I don't actually think that Wild Guns as a soundtrack has a huge Western influence. Maybe there is a bit of it in there, but when I was listening through the tracks, I was like, I can't really identify this as Western necessarily. It's more kind of like arcadey action, you know, and that's kind of the thing it was going for.
Yeah.
I actually thought you might think it was Mega Man because it has some of that vibe to it as
I would have guessed Mega Man, but obviously that's not, I've not played any Super Nintendo Mega Mans. And then you were like, you're warmer with Super Nintendo, so I ruled out Mega Man because it could have been like Mega Man 2, I guess, which is the only one I think I've played, but
I think Wild Guns is a great little game, and I recommend you know, if you've paid for the Nintendo Switch online service, check it out. It's one of those that I think, you know, alongside there are so many like well-known games that people have played a million times, but it's one of those that's a bit more different and out there, and it's a great time, very fun, arcadey, challenging for sure, but not in an unfair way, I would say. Like, I think you know, you definitely have to pay a lot of attention, especially in those later levels, of like dodging out of the way of stuff and using your supers at the right time
it's very weird because it's behind the back third person shooter basically, but it doesn't handle like obviously a modern third person shooter would. It's more like a point and click third person behind the back kind of shooter. It's hard to describe, but it works for what the game's going for.
Absolutely. Hell of a game. Glad you got there in the end, man.
Brain.
All right. Let's move on to the next song, which is number 4.
We'll be right back.
I'd say there's a distinct sound identity to this one. Have you picked up on it? Is the question?
Yeah, I knew this after the first, even the little drum at the start before the main theme.
All right.
I got this because it's a very distinct sounding game.
Yeah,
and it's actually probably my favorite 2D Mario game.
Ooh,
and I'm going to controversially stand by that it is a 2D Mario game because
it is
Super Mario World 2. Yoshi's Island.
That is correct. Absolutely. This is the castle fortress theme. I think there is a very distinct sound identity to Yoshi's Island that you can pick up in those little blinks and blonks, right? Like the little plinky kind of sounds that I think you hear it within a lot of the sound design in the game, of like when Mario falls off your back and you have to try and get him and stuff like that. Like there's an identity of like the sound that gets built into the music that I think is very clever.
Yeah, as well. It's an incredibly impressive game with like what do you call that 3D effect it's got in it?
Parallax. It's got mode 7 stuff.
Mode 7.
Yeah.
With like the planks falling towards you, that kind of stuff. Yeah, the soundtrack is incredible. Obviously, the artistic look of the entire game. What's the famous level fuzzy-fuzzy-wuzzy thing?
Touch fuzzy, get dizzy.
Touch fuzzy, get... Like, that stuff is just incredible. Like, there's such a charm to the unique style of this game that many of, like, the kind of later Yoshi games just don't quite get in the same way. And
yeah.
I've not really tried the later ones other than Woolly World, which was a good time.
I like Woolly World.
But the original just feels better. Often Nintendo improve on the original, and I think Yoshi's one of those weird franchises where the original still feels like the strongest one. Now, I must say, I've played the Game Boy Advance version, not the Super Nintendo one. I'd love to play the Super Nintendo one at some point. Again, I think this is on the Switch Online, so definitely recommend checking it out. And if you want a bit more Yoshi's Island vibes, you got to play the new Mario Kart DLC with Island track, which gets all the charm of this game. And yeah, I like that this song plays on the castle themes of Mario games, but gives it like an unusual Yoshi twist almost.
Yeah.
It's nice.
For sure. Yeah. Do you define this as a 2D Mario game? I guess like what you said, you say it is. Yeah,
I do. And I know that half the internet is very mad at me and half of the internet is rooting for me. And I root for it as a 2D Mario because I think it is the strongest 2D Mario. Like it's probably my favorite.
Yeah, I think it just does different stuff, doesn't it? Right? Like, it's kind of what you want from a sequel, and it's kind of what you want Nintendo to do more of, which is like go in a weird direction with a kind of this core series that has for so long, I think, in recent entries anyway, in the last decade, has just been, it's just a bit more of the same, you know? Like, you know, it's not just a visual identity thing, right? Like, I'd love a new 2D Mario to be visually different, but the question is, like, can you mechanically change things up as well in a way that feels distinct? And I think, you know, Yoshi's Island is it's a very distinct game mechanically. Like, there's not a lot like it out there. And I think part of the problem is that Nintendo, when they keep trying to go back to it, don't really modernize what it has done. Because, like, back then, obviously, like, holding down the button and waiting for it to, like, go up and down for aiming is, like, that's all well and good. But, like, we have dual analog sticks now in this modern day and age, but still, Yoshi's Woolly World is...
Which they're happy to use for... Well, I guess in a game like Samus Returns or Dread, you hold down the button and then aim, but it still works well.
Yeah, totally. But like they still seem rooted to this idea of just like waiting for it to go back and forth instead of just like aiming as you would do in a more modern game when it comes to the Yoshi stuff. So
I don't actually think that mechanic has aged that poorly. I still think it works well for the game. But I think, trying to insert that mechanic into the more modern games, I agree. It's a bit more like, come on, you really could give this the identical mechanic as Dread and Samus Returns.
I think it's one of those things that Nintendo does is they come up with a new idea and they're like, that's tradition now, we're never changing it. You know, that happens quite often.
But in the same way that we want 2D Mario to do something bold and different, that's what this game did back in like 1996 or whenever it came out.
Yeah, exactly.
I think that's what's so cool about it. It's like, there's no Mario. You're playing as Yoshi with baby Mario on your back. Like, that's just, and like, this is the Mario prequel. Like, I think that's a hilariously fun idea that they went for. And it's a story-driven experience. Sure. As light as that story is, I still think it's a really fun little story.
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, I think a lot of that iconic music is being brought to the forefront with that new Mario Kart track, which is nice. It's probably subliminally why it was in the back of my brain and why I chose it yesterday. I was worried that we were both going to choose, like, the same game at some point in this.
Oh, that could have been possible with this.
It could have been, But thankfully, we're all good. So, let's go on to the final track, Bally. You've done decently so far, just one wrong. So let's see if you can crack that 4 out of 5 with this last song, number 5. Definitely a different vibe from what we've heard so far. But,
that song is in my brain.
And I have no idea where it's from. It absolutely is. This might be one that you will be kicking yourself about.
I know I will be. Like, oh my God.
You know this very intimately, I will say, I think. Given how much you played this game. So,
feeling like the GameCube era. And you think I've played a lot of this game.
Yeah, yeah. It's a game I've played as well, I will say. And yeah, also played a good amount.
So I was thinking like Burnout 2. You've not played Burnout 2. You've also not played F-Zero GX. I was getting vibes of that briefly.
You're in the right ballpark though.
Burnout 2 and F-Zero are the ballpark.
Oh. Yeah, Wave Race is also the ballpark.
Wave Race is also the ballpark. So now I'm thinking along the lines of Wii. And a game that is racing themed that we've played on Wii that is rocking is definitely Excite Truck. It's not been number 4. I'm confident this is from an early level in Excite Truck. You think I've played a lot of Excite Truck? I guess I did play quite a bit of Excite Truck. Unless I'm not on Excite Truck. Maybe this is something else. This is where my brain goes into 3D chess. but there really isn't any other Wii games I'm going to think that... Oh, God. No, it can't be. No, it's not Monkey Ball. No. Yes, no. No. Don't do this to your brain, Bally. Come on. Don't slide.
Have you made your choice?
I'm going Excite Truck. We've had Monkey Ball on Wii before. Not that that would have put me off.
All right.
Final answer, Excite Truck.
Locking it in. Excite Truck, your final answer. Bally?
Yes.
That's correct. That's the right answer. It is, in fact, Excite Truck. I thought you played a lot of Excite Truck. I mean, I played a good amount of Excite Truck.
I played a good amount of Excite Truck. Famously, the one racing game you were able to beat me at.
Exactly, yes, because of the point system where you would win the race, I would still win because I had more points.
I'd be winning the race up front, you'd be doing these crazy-ass drifts at the back, taking your time, and you'd sneak over the line ahead of me in points.
Yeah, absolutely.
Really cool game, like mechanically more solid than I think it got credit for at the time.
Oh, it really is.
And it had a Scotland track that looked nothing like Scotland, with like these castles that looked like the Great Wall of China. I seem to remember. I'm like, I don't know this castle.
There was a China track as well.
There was also a China track. Like terraforming land. That was really cool.
Yeah.
Like you'd hit these things and doing tricks and. You could put your SD card into your Wii and listen to your own music. So
that's what I was going to say. Like, did you listen to enough of your own music to where...
I listened to Queen Greatest Hits 3, Princes of the Universe, plenty.
That's great,
this track. I remember that distinctly.
Which must have made it a little bit harder, I guess, like remembering the actual songs in the game. It depends how much you were using
it. Yeah, a little bit. But Yeah, I do remember this track. It's definitely from one of the earlier tracks. I remember the car I was driving is very similar to, like, it's like a Badger truck, and it looked like this truck from Smuggler's Run. Definitely remember spending a lot of time in that car, and then really nice progression. I seem to remember of unlocking cars, which one feels good. A fantastic sense of speed, and also the first time that we'd played anything with the Wiimote like on its side, like you were driving left and right. This is before Mario Kart came out, so it felt very novel in that sense. And the tracks were so wide and forgiving that the kind of floaty nature of turning a Wiimote on its side actually worked really nicely with this
game. It did, yeah.
This is a very good game.
Yeah, it's fantastic. And this track itself was from Canada, which is... I can't remember what that track was exactly, but I think maybe if I'd given you Scotland, you might have gotten it a little easier, because I do remember that track quite...
Scotland was later in the game. I think Canada was earlier, so I think this was a good one to pick, yeah.
Yeah, definitely. I seem to remember there was, like, a weird moon track at the end, if you unlocked everything, right? Like, you went into space some kind.
Don't think I got that far.
I did. I did unlock that. So, yeah, maybe I played more Excite Truck than you did. It was certainly the racing game that I put the most time in during that period. I think the unique thing about it, as you mentioned, is like you could win by just having enough skill points, essentially. So you would get points by doing drifts, or a tree run was my favorite, where you get a 5-star tree run by going through a section of the level that had a bunch of trees and not bumping into any of them. So it was like kind of threading the needle type of deal. So you get a bunch of points for doing that. You get points for doing big jumps and spins in the air and going through the rings. There's like 5 rings you'd have to go through sometimes. You have to jump and get through them all. Just the aerial maneuvers and all those types of things, drift around corners. Once you had all that stuff down, then yeah, it didn't really matter if you came in second, because you might have enough points to where you would end up in first anyway. Very, very unique game. Definitely a fun one. Really, really enjoyed playing Excite Truck. I think that's it. That's all 5 songs, Mally. How do you feel you did there?
Yeah, I didn't have the luxury of knowing that there was a JRPG theme to lean on. I think that I was pleased with how I did. I think, 3D Land was tough. And when you break it down that traditional Mario songs have been remixed a bajillion times across a bajillion games, I thought my guess was close enough. So I'll take 4 out of 5. I'm pretty happy with that.
Yeah, I think overall it was generally a solid batch here, some ones that like just a little bit trickier than others, but I think in the end it all worked out, and I enjoyed mine a lot because I like all those songs. Those are all iconic songs for me, so
right.
Good stuff. Mally, that's going to take us to the end of this here fun little special episode with the Jukebox. But before we get on out of here, we have some things to plug, some people to say thank you to, all that sort of stuff. So how about we direct people over to patreon.com/thisNintendoLife, where people can support the show and get bonus episodes and other fun things like that. We would like to thank some folks.
Yes, thank you to our new patron, Patrice M. Thank you so much for your support. And thank you to all our $10 tier plus patrons. They are Zach S., Thomas, Matthew, Albert, and Wicked Gamer UK Alan. We really, really appreciate your $10 tier plus support. But thank you to all of our other patrons. We really appreciate the support you give the show. And it keeps the show on the road. We love it.
Yeah. Thanks everybody, and you can get some bonus episodes if you head on over there and listen to it. Some good stuff. Obviously you can also write into the show, and we'll be, as I mentioned, probably getting back to emails next time. So if you have some burning questions for us, please send them to our email address, which Bally will remind you of right now.
Please email thisnintendolife@gmail.com. that's thisnintendolife@gmail.com.
Lovely. You can also find us all over the internet. I am on Twitter @LordNBZ. Where can you be found, Bally?
I'm on Twitter @Ballyman91. That's BALLYMAN91.
Fantastic. And you also follow the podcast Twitter @TNLPodcast, and you can go there for updates about things that are happening with the show, fun stuff like that. So go check it out. We also have links there to our Discord, so join the community over there and chat with folks about a bunch of different stuff. There's lots of Octopath chat happening right now, so go jump in there and enjoy. And you can also find our YouTube channel link there also if you want to access the show via those means instead. So go ahead and check that stuff out. Obviously you can find the show in various places. We're on Spotify, We are on Stitcher. You can download us on any podcasting app, podcatching app, whatever you want to call it, and just search for This Nintendo Life. We'll be right there for you, and you can subscribe, and then every episode will come into your feed without you having to worry about going to find it yourself. It's very, very nice. Cool. I think that's going to do us, Bally. I think that we're going to have to do a bit more jukebox in the future, but I'm worried that we're going to run out of songs. That's the thing. We need to play more video games.
We'll never run out of songs because we keep playing new games.
Yeah, that's true. It just
keeps fulfilling itself.
Absolutely.
Tell you what, I was a little bit like, maybe I should have got the PS5 version of Octopath Traveler 2 because it's got like a better resolution. I think that the Switch version looks ever so slightly muddy at points. And maybe some loading times are quicker. And then I thought, but I'm going down south for like 9 nights.
Yeah.
I couldn't bring my PS5, whereas I could bring my Nintendo Switch. So I'm very glad I got the Switch version of Octopath Traveler 2 and looking forward to going away and playing it.
Yeah, RPGs, always best handheld. That's what
always
I say.
Always best handheld.
It's what you want to do. So hopefully you make some nice progress there in your time away. And we'll be back in a couple of weeks' time with some more Nintendo goodness for you. Thank you for listening. Bye-bye, folks.